coverage sounds very good. Good luck with it. WA2KOP.
Roger, just went for the toll. Easy pass. The Palisades Interstate doesn't have a gate. You know, you just drive through, so... Yeah, I was on the Metroplex repeater last night, and the first QSO is the new rig, and it sounded noisy. I said, oh, you know, I'm replaced basically to a new rig, because, you know, first of all, it's a dual bender. The old one I had was a 2 meter only Radio Shack 242 that sat in the garage in a box for about 12 years, and then I came back to the hobby, so I was kind of disappointed at the first. Report I got was scratchy, but probably was something in the repeater, because the guy went into reverse and heard me nice and clean, so that's a good sign. This microphone has one of the buttons that sticks out a little bit when I hold it, you know, flat, you know, I kind of press it without wanting to, so I have to get used to this mic, but it feels comfortable.
Yeah, very good. Some of the online tests are a little subjective, you know. A lot of considerations. Not necessarily a reason to take a hammer to your rig right away, you know. So forth and so on. Anyway, yeah, so if I was on more often on this rig, I'm sure I would have, on this repeater, I'm sure I would have met you sooner. So you make this trip from Jersey to Hong Kong every day. Oh my gosh. How long have you been doing this?
Only about 7 months.
Yeah, is this going to be like for a while?
I'm getting out of the apartment. I'll pick you up in 2 seconds.
You want a radio check? That was a good copy, even though you were on ET apartments.
And to you, it's T-Mobile back. I don't like to transmit out of the apartment, you know. I know I'm going to be sounding scratchy, so try to avoid that. Anyway, I'm on a contract. Actually, should come to for renewal in June. All the indications are that they are going to renew me, and the good thing is that the company has another data center in New Jersey. I may split the time between OPAC and Nutley, so that will cut on the commute, especially if I can work Friday in New Jersey, because Friday commutes are the worst.
QSL, yeah, and I hope so. That's a trip and a half. The only good thing is, I guess, you can gas up in Jersey before you get over to the bridge. Save about 30 cents a gallon.
Yeah, Roger. Although I went up last week or two, 2.11 this morning, I paid 2.14 on the weekend. It was 1.98 for a long time before that. Well, it's summer season, Memorial Day is coming, you know, the weather is warming up. Thank God the air conditioners are not running yet. And, yep, but it's 5 gallons a day. If I can get 2 days in New Jersey, it'll be less. But it's a fine job, and when I spoke to the headhunters, I said, you know, 50 miles is fine, you know, because these days you can't be too picky. And this is exactly 50 miles, so I'm within the range that I have allocated to myself.
Yeah, I don't know why, it seems a lot longer to me. It sounds a lot longer. It's only 50 miles. Very good. I'm going to sign on this one. We're going to pull into the parking lot. Anyway, good luck with the rig. Maybe we'll monitor a little more often in the morning. So, sit down, I'll listen out. Have a great day. Call. and 2 UHD Dub UA2 KOP.
Okay, you two enjoy the day, and this is NTU HD Mobile, and we'll be listening.
This is KA2 NCD.
N2 UHD Mobile.
To UHD, this is KA2NCD. Good morning. And I'll hear Zinni. I'm on the Suffren State Parkway.
Roger, Vinny. Name is Nico. November, India, Kilo Oscar. Where am I? I'm on the Cross Island South going towards the LAE.
Roger, Nico. Going in opposite directions. You're going east, and I'm going west.
Yeah, me too. But at least I caught some sleeping hours on the weekend. It was kind of a lazy weekend. Didn't even get the lawnmower out. I'm sure I'll regret that. I wanted to do it Saturday. There was no time, and then it rained, and then it was wet on Sunday. So next week it will be a futile.
Well, I have no look at the 10-day forecast. I didn't like what I read. Who's to say there's going to be more rain?
Yeah, Roger did. I have an ongoing call with PSE&G. I have an insurance policy on my air conditioner that needs free on charge. They can only do it when it's 75 degrees or thereabout outside. They already came 3 times. Every time I call them, it's 80 the day before. When they come, it's 65. They can't do it. So with that, you know, I hope that the weather stay cool until I get them to charge my central air conditioner.
Yeah, the weather this year is fine. It's supposed to warm up. Then it got cold. It's a comfortable 51 degrees right now. If it's crummy like this when I get home, I was going to work on my car today. Didn't even plant yet. I'll have to see what happens with this weather. Horrible.
It's a frost warning tonight. Send to EB, Bobo. Send to EB, and to UHD. Pick it up. Good morning, one and all. That's everything. Yeah, I heard on the news that the South Shore is supposed to get a frost warning. So if you got those little plants that need to be warm, bring them inside. Oh man, time to cover up the patio furniture here. This is getting cold. Going in reverse. Yep. It'll stay cool until Miko gets his air conditioning fixed. This is N3B. Miko, pick it up.
Yeah, Roger, Dad, that's a good idea. You know, we'll save on energy because it's not air conditioning and it's not heating. Although, I had to turn on the heater again. Somehow when I turned the house fan, which is, you know, to compensate for the warm days before the air conditioner gets charged, the pilot goes off. So every time I turn the heat, I have to go down and readjust and start the pilot again. But there's frost tonight. I'm sure we'll be not that far behind, and gotta get the heater, the pilot, back on. Back to Vinny.
Well, my heater works all year round, so I don't have to worry about that. Just use less oil in the summer and more oil in the winter. I just got a delivery 3 weeks ago, so I guess I'm good for, I'm usually good till about November when the heating season starts again, so. But if it stays cold, I may not be good that as long, so we'll have to see what happens.
Well, I use
gas and I have a hot water heater. So, but as far as the furnace is concerned, I haven't even shut that off yet. I didn't pull the big red switch, so. I don't know. If the house gets cold enough, it'll kick on. Anyway. Yep. It's funny, it looks like, you're talking about air conditioning and stuff like that. Wow. Yeah, I haven't even tried those yet. I don't have central air, but I uncovered the three air conditioners, and we'll see. Wait till the weather gets warmer. I don't think you can test it out this cold. Nico, over to you. This is since we meet. Name here is John.
Roger that. The whole thing started like a month ago. We had a very warm weekend. It jumped to the 90s. And on the first try, it blew a fuse outside, so I replaced the fuse. And a day later, it stopped again. I thought he blew the fuse again. I called the Warwick Free Service with PSE&G, and they came. And actually, the guy was pretty good. He opened it up. He hosed it down and cleaned it. And when we started it, it froze. So it says, well, you know, we'll try to charge the Freon, and it wouldn't take because it was in the 60s outside. So since then, I'm rescheduling. Every time it warms up, I call them for a Saturday appointment. It's the only day I can take them. And it's 65 degrees on a Saturday. But it'll warm up soon enough, and we'll be commiserating and sweating and hoping for the winter again. Anyway, I'm on the Long Island Expressway coming on exit, I think 35. Over to you, Vinny.
No pardon of the station, and now goes QRM. Just give it a minute for us, see if there's somebody else in there. And this is KA2NCD, and the fuel report. Oil is trading at around $56.50 a barrel. As you all know, gas is still going up at the pump. It's been rising for the longest time now, and we're still paying overinflated prices for oil. What can I say?
Yeah, what can you say? Don't know. I think it's probably the when they bait the oil into gas and refineries, so they're going. It will probably continue to rise. Anyway, roads are clear. You can tell that 11 schools have closed in Queens because of the swine flu outbreak. So you can tell that a lot of teachers are staying under the covers today. So we're zipping through here at 60. And we're at New Hyde Park Road exit, North Hills. Yep. That's it. So my brother-in-law's got to start thinking about getting his heater repaired in his pool. And I think he's got that on order. A new condenser for that. So there you go. Well, I was coming home yesterday from the city to drop my son off at the pier. He took a cruise going down to Bermuda and all that. Coming back, it's about seven, I would say about at least seven or eight cars piled up all around the Glen Cove exit yesterday. Nico, over to you. Send to eBay.
Okay, thank you. NTUHD Mobile on the LIE is moving well in both directions. I'm in exit 40. And at exit 42, I transit to the northern state. Yeah, I don't know. On Friday when I came home, the gas price was $2.14 already. And this morning I see it at $2.11. So I guess some competition around, you know, forced him to drop a little bit. But they went too fast, you know. The thing was hovering around 55 and one day shot to 58 or 59 and 10 cents up, you know, in one day. And when it comes down, they come down slow. But, you know, if it hover around that price, we will be good. You know, I don't know if there was a contributing factor to the car problems with the SUVs and the big pickup truck, but it was definitely a part of it. 7 months ago, I bought a new Chrysler minivan, and I was just informed that my dealer is part of the shutdown. So now I'll have to go 10 or 15 miles to get my car serviced. Over to you, Vinny.
Fine, business owner. Well, as John will tell you, I've been tracking gas since the past year. It's August of last year. When a barrel of oil was $143 before it toppled over. But even when oil was trading between $32 and $35 a barrel, we were still paying $187, and it was still too high. Gas should have dropped down to about $120 or so. We've been paying over inflated prices, even with the price of oil where it is. And that's because refineries, when oil is at a certain price, they can't make money. So you hold back and drive the price up. So it's a no-win situation. Well, the government, look at that. Everyone knows the answers, but no one does anything. I just don't quite get it. So now with the barrel being 56 and change, now you're still paying more money than you should be. Well, I my deal is at General Motors. I had a Hummer up until about a month ago. Trying to get out of it because I was over my mileage as a lease, and to do a deal was ridiculous. It took about 4 months. I was able to get out. And I was at Saturn right before I did the deal. Lucky I didn't, because I guess they're going bye-bye too. So I guess it sort of worked out in my favor, I hope. Off to you, John. This is KA21CD.
Okay. I can't get used to the double tone there. But anyway, if it starts to come back, or these dealerships come back, there's a lot of people in. A lot of people. And, they don't want to make the price too high, because if they make the price too high for foreign oil, then, we'll start to look for ways to, save energy and get smaller cars and use less gas, and they'll make less of a profit. So they want to keep it low enough so that you still buy your SUVs and your big gas guzzlers, and they'll keep making money, and you'll keep now looking for ways to save energy. So there you go. You gotta go smaller, economize. But I tell you one thing though, I don't think the hybrids cut it. I don't think they cut it. I mean,
the amount of money you pay for the car does not outweigh the savings in gas. Nico? Yeah, I agree. The cost of the batteries is prohibitive, in my opinion. You know, they warranted for 3 years, and they probably $3,000 to replace. So anything you save in the first 3 years, you'll be paying down the road if you intend to keep the car. You know, I usually keep cars, you know, 7 to 10 years. So if I had a hybrid, and the reason I didn't consider one is that if I have to change batteries twice in the life of the car, you know, it will be much more than any savings. And the savings are usually in city driving when the electric motor kicks in. And I leave the house and I step on the gas and I'm 60 miles an hour until I reach my office. On the way back, it's a different story, but you couldn't make the calculation, and I need a minivan. I have 3 kids and a dog. You can't fit them in a Prius. So, and this one is doing about 20 miles a gallon, you know, in the driving that I do, 60 at less than 2,000 RPM, so I'm not complaining. And room for the radio and maybe even an HF mobile rig one day. This is NTU HD Mobile. Back to you, Vinny.
Oh, Roger, Nico. Well, I was looking at the Saturn. I was looking at the view that's a hybrid because I was considering getting a hybrid. But two different dealerships told me the same answer. A hybrid's not worth the money. You're not going to get... If you're going to do parkway driving, that's stop and go, you will not see the savings on a hybrid. That's only if you're in stop and go in Manhattan. You'll see that. If you stop and go on a parkway, you will not see the... And these are two different manufacturers with the same answer. The technology is there, but it's not worth the money right now. And considering the battery, I think those batteries are warranted for about 10 years on a vehicle. So, yeah, I believe one of them did mention it. And I don't know if the battery is really an issue. Plus the fact that if they make more batteries for these vehicles that are on the road, you would hopefully think that the price would go down as the vehicle ages. But they're not worth the money right now. So we'll just have to see how hybrids go. And as far as big trucks, I think those days are over with. I don't think there's gas guzzles. The gas guzzles that are there will be there. And I was reading in the paper that if you do get rid of a gas guzzler, well, so you become energy conscious, I think the government's going to hand you about $5,000. That's something that right now they're signing off on in Congress. So I think they're going to grandfather people that just got rid of their hybrid. So maybe I'll make a little money on a deal here. I did get rid of a hybrid. I mean, I did get rid of a gas guzzler. So we'll see what happens. That's right now. It was in the paper, I believe, on Friday or Saturday. So that should be interesting. But I don't think the gas guzzlers will be on the road as you know them anymore. Over to you, John.
Okay. That's the Prius. In 2010, when it comes out, it will be the third generation of hybrids that the Prius has gone through. So, it's supposed to be higher mileage per gallon, a bigger engine, combustion engine. I think it's going to be a 1.8, something like that. And as far as the batteries, the only thing that I heard is that it's not $3,000 anymore. It's, you know, it's like half that price. I guess they felt, you know, there. So, there you go. Anyway, I'm already up to
like I said, these schools being closed. Zip right through. Miko, well, back to you. Descend 2EB. Yeah, no doubt that they will improve on the renewed surprise. I don't think at this point we have enough statistical information to drive the first type of a battery safe. You know, if I had a shorter commute and you know, I could afford a second car, then I look at the hybrid, you know, but you have the kids and the activities and the dog, and you know, you can't do it with a small car. You need a minivan. Never went for a SUV because they were too big and too expensive. But you know, I always had a minivan. But yeah, I may consider one of those little, I don't know, minis, or not a Smart. The Smart looks smaller than my lawnmower. But maybe a Saturn or something like that for the commute. Especially if gas prices will start inching up towards the $3 a gallon, which, you know, it's a big difference, you know, even though it's only 30% more than $2, at the end of the week, it's going to be significant. So I can't cut on the mileage. There's no public transportation that, you know, I have to take a bus to Manhattan and change to a train and get a cab from the probably be a 3-hour ordeal and double the price. And anyway, I'm on the northern state, I think around exit 40 by now, so I'm getting close to where I'm going. Over to you, Vinny.
10-2 Echo Oscar.
All right, 10-2 Echo Oscar, you can pick it and turn it over to John. We're going to sign, we're at our QTH here, looking for a place to park. Everyone have a good day. This is KA2NCD73.
Okay, Vinny, we'll say good morning to you. I'm not going to stay in here. I only got a few blocks to go. I'm coming home from Mr. Dunkin' Donuts. I believe the name is Miko. My name is Rich, Romeo India Charlie Hotel. And, you know, I've been looking at cars, at least on the internet I've been looking, and you mentioned a hybrid. Ford makes something called the Escape. It's an SUV hybrid. They got it in a gasoline model only, and they have it in a hybrid model as well, the Ford Escape. So I don't know if you're aware of that. It's a small SUV. Over to you, John. Pick it up. I'm gonna make this my one and only transmission. M2EO. Good morning.
Good morning, Rich. And I'm just pulling up to the gate here. So I got a key it open, so I'll say 7-3 is, I don't want to stay on bushwick like this too long. So 7-3, guys. Take care. Rich, nice seeing you. Vinny and Miko. Take care. Back to Miko.
Okay, thank you. I'm about 2 exits from my destination also, and I understand that I'm the only one left. So wish you all a happy and pleasant day, and to UHD Mobile, we'll be listening.
Okay, good morning, John. Good morning, Miko. Good morning, Vinny. I'm just pulling up to the house. We'll see you guys later. This is M2 Echo Oscar.
KC, CJC.
GC station, right again, enter UHD Mobile.
Enter UHD Mobile, good morning to you. Is there a problem with the, whatchamacallit, the repeater?
Not on the western side, you know, I've been on it for the last half an hour.
Okay, it's got a new courtesy tone, it seems. And I'm surprised that I don't hear anyone already talking when I turned it on, so I figured there may be a problem.
Let me try the eastern side, anti-UHD mobile here. Do you copy?
Yeah, it's loud and clear.
Roger, I switched to the 375. I don't think so, because I programmed the new rig yesterday with, you know, the published tone, and worked both of them now, because most of the morning I was on the... Oh, I don't have the the numbers on the display, because this is alphanumeric. It says Limark rather than the frequency. But the eastern side, I think it's an 850 frequency, so might have been something temporarily. Back to you.
Yeah, one, Vinny and John just signed before you came on. We're all off, and I'm just pulling into my spot. W4NYF, take it easy, everybody.
Wow, that means I'm off to a very, very late start today. Not good.
Well, the good news is the traffic seems to be moving well, and I'm about the same time as usual, and I usually see more traffic on the west bound lane. So I'm about 3 minutes from my destination, and into a new week and a new start.
That's the way it is. All right, thanks for the traffic report. Hopefully it'll hold up and be nice and light, because that's what I need. I need to take up some time without breaking any, what do you call that? Breaking any laws.
No, we don't want to do that, you know. Policemen are middle of the month. They have to start getting into their quota situations. Don't give them a reason to stop you. I mean, they probably will just for holding the microphone, but that we know how to get away from. Anyway, I'm at my exit, and need to open the window and open the gate and stuff like that. So I wish you a pleasant day. Thanks for the company on the radio. This is NTUHD, and I'll be clear.
All right there, NTUHD. You have yourself a good day, okay? 73 is to you. This is KC2TJC, and I'll be listening.
And 2 Alpha Sierra Sierra.
What's going on, Greg? I guess you're late, too.
No, I was just listening for a while, then I got a phone call. You know, the other day when I was talking to you, and you, your last words that you said, well, I told you you were getting a little staticky, and you said, actually, you got staticky. You told me that I got staticky and then cut out. I couldn't get back into the machine. I think my radio either dropped its tone or is not transmitting on the 440 side, and since then I have not been able to correct it. So I really don't know what happened, but my radio stopped on the 440 side, and I couldn't even let you know. I kept trying and trying to talk to you, and I went to the 850 side, but you weren't listening to both, so you didn't hear me over there. So I just wanted to say I didn't get off. You said a few times that maybe I took a phone call, but I didn't. I just couldn't get back to you, and I still can't go on the 440.
That's odd. Yeah, I was waiting up for you. You want to try again today?
Oh, no, I can see I can't key it up. I key it up and nothing kicks back at me. You know how you get that little thing that comes back? I don't get nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, I think at the worst, you should try resetting the radio. I did it. And I got rid of, I forget what was my problem. Where I had a... Remember I had on the 440 side, every time I booted up, I had a different TL tone. It was also because I had two memory entries that were labeled differently. So, I don't know how that worked out, but it would always revert to the incorrect PL tone. But once I reset it and got rid of that entry and reprogrammed it, it went fine. Talking about programming, have to email you the entire list. I have it all compiled now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I could reset the radio. Well, when I look at the tone, it's correct. But I do have it in like five different entries. That's, you know, because in playing with the buttons, all of a sudden you end up putting it in memory 2, memory 5, memory 7. I have it in a few different spots. Maybe that is causing it. It's, the radio gets weird. Well, how do you reset the radio?
It's actually quite easy. It's all in the instruction manual. It tells you how to do like a master reset. And it works out well. And I recalled why I did the reset. Not because of the PL tone. Because remember I was supposedly having trouble with the number 7. Which I still might, but it only gave me trouble on that band. So when I contacted Yaesu said to reset it. And that was the first thing I did, and you know, ever since I've been able to use IRLP.
Yeah, maybe I'll give it a shot, or maybe I'll program that 440 into this side of the radio, like, and see what it does. It's kind of weird that I lost, I don't know, but it was intermittent, my problem. You know, all of a sudden it would be fine, then it wouldn't, then I'd cut out, then I wouldn't, so I don't know. Maybe my SWR was off on the antenna, and I burned it out.
Yeah, but it's not two physical sides. I think it's one controller board that displays two sides, and that allows transmit and receive. That's the different part. I would say, from my limited understanding, it's one board that displays two sides. It's not actually two radios in one.
Well, it's got to have two different exciter things, so one to do the 440 and one to do the 2 meter. I don't know. Ugh. Aggravating. I'll have to figure it out.
All right, on that part, you're probably right. It does have probably a 77 meter and a 2 meter. But as far as the display, I think it's all controlled by one series of chips and transistors and whatever. But hopefully that didn't happen. You should try another 70 centimeter band. You know what? Reset it today and program it up with my list. It's pretty basic. The first 20 entries are all local, and the alphanumeric tags are pretty decent. You'll figure all of them out. And then I have them subdivided by county, Kings, Queens, Manhattan, Richmond. And then I have a lower Connecticut, anything that you could hit from the North Shore, and all of New Jersey. Some of them you could actually, I have already tested and tried, like Union City I got through to, and Jersey City. There's actually a nice Jersey City repeater that's completely Spanish. That's pretty cool. I've been using it.
So I wonder if I can reach that one from here. I should put it in and try it, see if my radio works.
If I wasn't driving, I would give you the directions to reset, but I'm moving, so I couldn't help you with it right now. But definitely program it again and get rid of your duplicate entries. They tend to, I think they, well, it was also a matter of I wasn't saving correctly. So, but once I got rid of the duplicate entry, it, and I saved correctly, it worked. So I made sure this time around not to have duplicate entries, although I probably will by accident. It happens.
true. I would imagine it happens. It does happen. It happens. You know, it's funny how that happens. I'm going to have to try the, I don't know. I have no idea what happened. I'm just fearing the worst. We'll see what happens. And if worst comes to worst, I get another radio.
That would be the worst. But at least you have a 2-meter radio out of it. I don't know. I don't think you could even have it repaired if you said it was modified. So, I guess you could stretch that out. Antenna tuners. And, let me see. Have you experimented a lot with making your own antennas? Dipoles and stuff?
No, not at all. I just haven't had time to do anything.
Oh, believe me, I understand the time thing. I think I have even less time than you. Although you seem to go to bed later, which is something that I haven't learned how to do. When I do that, I feel dead. I wish my body would work that way. Get a couple of extra hours to do something that way. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Yeah, I wanna start experimenting with making either NFED or dipole antennas. Maybe I'll start with 1 meter. Not 1 meter, but like, let's say only one of them, instead of making a multi-band. One band, that's what I want to say. I'll start with making a one-band dipole, let's say for a 10-meter or a 20-meter. I just got to figure out how important it is to have an antenna tuner and a dummy load. Greg, KC to TJC, over to N2ASS.
A dummy load is really, you would need that if you really want to read your correct wattage output on your radio. And if you had a tube radio that you had to load up. But I don't think you'd really need a dummy load. You don't really need the dummy load thing. And I think I have a couple of those square box dummy load things. I gotta look. I have a lot of crap laying around. And the antenna tuner, if you're making your own antenna, I would definitely have an antenna tuner. And, you definitely need that.
Well, I'm actually fortunate enough to now be in possession of my father's old 101AE. It's actually been in storage since 1985. It seems to work. It turns on, the frequency display turns on, and I'm sure the finals will work. It was very, very well kept. Not a moisture-rich environment either, so it's very well kept.
Well, get the matching antenna tuner to that radio. This way you have a nice little setup. You can get the external speaker, you can get the antenna tuner, there's a lot of stuff you can get for that. You can get a little oscilloscope if you want to look at the way your voice looks. You can get a lot of little stuff on eBay for that thing.
Is it really worth getting the matching antenna tuner for that? Or just getting a modern day antenna tuner and working with that?
I think it'll work the same. It's just that it looks so nice because all the pieces match and you could fill up one desk with it. You know, I just like the way it looks. I'll look around. If I come across an antenna tuner, I'll let you know. You know, I just like the way it looks when you have everything all together. And the speaker for that one is pretty cheap. I think it's called a Landliner or something like that. And it's actually pretty cheap. Unless that's the phone patch I'm thinking of. But you'll find them. You'll find them out there.
I actually have the speaker, a clock, and mic. Let me see what else. Oh, and the digital display output with not the red LED. I'm sorry. Yeah, not the LED. I know there's an LED type one because I went on the websites, and there is this one website that features how to complete your Yaesu 101E with all its accessories. And I did see what you're talking about, the oscilloscope and the speaker. There's a phone patch. So there's a couple of different accessories, including an external to make it do 6 meter, and another box to do 2 meter. So that would be the complete thing. And I also have a straight key and a, I'd like to say, Swan desktop microphone, but I'm unsure. I'm unsure of the brand.
It's probably a Shure or a Siltronics or something. But those 6 meter and 2 meter converters, they're called transverters. Very hard to find. I've had the 6 meter one. I don't have it anymore. I sold the stuff, but they're hard to find.
I doubt that I'm going to start trying to piece the whole thing together to make it complete. But, I doubt that I'll... Because it's expensive. These things are worth more now than they actually were back then, if you include inflation. I don't know how it happened, but I guess that's a good thing. It didn't depreciate much. You know, if probably my set, I could probably get probably $1,000 since it was so well kept. Easy. I'm not going to get rid of it, but, you know, if everything turns out to be working and I don't have to replace those tubes, then, you know, that's going to be a really, really nice unit. I may one day start completing it. I should start now, since it's already 30 years, but I don't know. I'd have to get it on the air first and then decide if I want to get those, what do you call them, transverters?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to remember that you're not going to be able to open up a repeater. You're going to have to either get a signal generator to transmit, like, the tone. And then either, I don't know how it would work, but you could have that probably in the background making a little low-frequency hum that would open up the repeater. So you got to think about that, too. But I just think it's really cool to have a whole station. That's what I always did. If I bought a radio, I'd buy every piece, every single piece I could find for it. So, and I've had many different types, including the one you're talking about with the transverters. But I had that, I had the double E, I had the regular 101, I had so many different ones. And the frequency counter, I don't think I have that anymore. I think it was called an FC60. I gotta see if I still have that. I may have that laying around. It was like a white box.
Oh, that would be cool if you still have it. No, mine is like the same color. The same, like, powder gray that the case of the unit is. I guess the 6 meter would be okay, but if I get the 2 meter, I'd have that problem. I wouldn't be able to send BL tones. Although they sell units that are aftermarket, either you could work it into the unit somehow. They sell a little board, or you could get a like an add-on box that you manually set the PL tone. It has a rotary switch, and then it's labeled 110, 136, 97, you know, and then you select to the proper BL tone, and I guess every time you key up, it sends out that tone as well. And then that allows you to use an older, antiquated unit that didn't feature it back then. Craig?
Yeah, I didn't look at those yet. I should look at that. And the transverted, those are pretty cool. But I got to look out there, see what I can come up with once I get all my antennas. I haven't done anything yet. I'm doing the property first, and then I'll start working on getting the antennas up somehow. I haven't done anything.
I literally have so much stuff to do. I just can't, it's hard to get a handle on it when you got to run in every 5 seconds. And then the other difficult part is, you know, he's always getting into trouble. If I take him outside, it's very hard. He always wants to go and do something else. So I'm afraid he's gonna wander off into the street or something. The other day, I was repairing a hose, setting up like a sprinkler. Not a sprinkler itself, but one of those you put in the ground and it has a sprinkler head on top. I was putting up one of those, and next thing you know, I turn around and he's in the neighbor's yard petting the dog. They have a boxer. But I took a good scare because he was literally right behind me. I turned to push that black thing into the hose to put two hoses together. I turn around and he's all the way across the neighbor's yard. You know, bad feeling in the pit of your stomach, if you know what I mean.
Well, yesterday I was working in the backyard. My wife decided to come out and help, which was nice. She couldn't have been out there for 2 minutes, and I decided to get something from the kitchen. I walk in, and my son pulled the filter hose out of a 76-gallon boat tank, fish tank, and it emptied the tank out to 2 inches. So I had 76 gallons of water on the carpet in the living room, and it soaked through, and it poured out in the finished basement. So that ended my yard work for the day, and I had to go in and get the wet dry vac and suck up everything I could, and then we got the carpet cleaner and try to suck everything out. You can't. You know, I found out you can't. Those carpet cleaners, they're not meant to soak the water out of the padding. So when you step in the living room, you end up with wet feet. I don't know how long that's going to take to dry. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. I think you may have to take up the carpet and at least allow it to dry underneath, and then put back the carpet. I don't know. I would think that's the correct process, unless it's going to start getting mildewy underneath. I forget what they call that thing.
Turn the heat on.
Rubber. Now they come in like a foam. I don't know if it's going to attract mildew or not, but I think that's something that is going to happen unless it's taken care of the right way.
KC2AZM, here's a thought. Turn the heat on.
Well, the house gets very hot. I have skylights throughout the whole house, and until I block them, the house, like even in the winter, on a sunny day, like today, if the sun comes out, I'll come home and the house will be like 95 degrees. It's sick. It's insane how hot. It's like a greenhouse in there. So in the winter, it's great because I come home, the house is like 75, 80. It's hot. But in the summer, it's unbearable. I had to block them. Even the air conditioners couldn't keep up with it. Maybe just the sun when it comes out today will be enough to dry it. But I don't know. I hope it dries it underneath the carpet. I don't know. Maybe that'll work.
Oh, I left the space for the other gentleman. If you want to come in. It's KC to TJC.
Thanks. I was just interjecting, buddy. he alluded to the fact that his house is already hot, so turning the heat on may not really do much more. KC2AZM, we're clear.
All right, thanks for the advice. I'll see what I can do. I don't know. I am worried about that mildew stuff. I could lift up the carpet, I guess. It just seems that when you lift it, you never get it down the same way. But I guess what could it take to pull it up from the corners and fold it back a little ways? You know, it only soaked up about a 12-foot area. I guess I could pull it back, but it would turn the living room upside down. But I guess I could do it for a day or two.
So that might be a good choice. Try it for a day or two, and don't block the skylights. Now, at the same time, I believe you are going to have to, whatchamacallit, you're going to have to leave some windows open so you can get that moisture out. At least a draft, so it'll evacuate all the moisture. Other than that, I don't know. Go online. Maybe there's a better way. Or do like that commercial. Get some of those ShamWows. You know how they do it in the commercial. He puts a ShamWow on the carpet and he says it sucks up everything, including the moisture from 1950s. Try it.
I have them. It didn't do it. That commercial is a farce. It didn't do it. It did the same thing as putting a towel on it. You have to dampen the ShamWow first, wring it out, and then lay it on the carpet. I did that, and it was just like a regular towel. You know, it didn't do anything. If you pushed on it, you felt your hands eventually get wet, just like a towel. It just didn't. I tried it. I said, oh, this will work. I had four of them, so I laid them out in a big square. It did nothing.
You mean the commercials not telling the truth? I'm surprised. I'm glad I didn't get any yet. I was thinking about them, but I figured, let me just use a towel. What's the big deal? So I'm sticking to towels, I guess.
Well, I guess it would work on a small spill, but 75 gallons or 60 gallons, whatever came out. I mean, with all the wet-dry vac and the water I sucked up, I only filled up the wet-dry vac once. So maybe that was, it says 16 gallon, but it wasn't really 16. Maybe it was 8, you know, and it only filled it once. That's it, from all that water, you know. And the carpet cleaner, maybe I filled that thing a few times, and that only holds like a half a gallon. I definitely didn't pull up 75 gallons of water, or 60 for sure. I may have pulled up 20. That's it.
What do you have underneath that pad, though? Do you have hardwood floors? Because you said it went through to the finished basement downstairs. So if that's the case, you should even pull up the pad and let the hardwood floor dry. So it doesn't get warped, or I don't know, if it's a nice hardwood floor, so it doesn't get damaged. You know, some people, they do that. They put down carpet because they have nice hardwood floors, but they have kids. The thing that happened to me is I never got them finished. And I'm glad, because he has a little rocking chair. I didn't know there was a nail or something. Not a nail, but one of those finishing nails, the way they tack it. One of them worked itself loose.